Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word contains strong images of faith to encourage us, to help us. So we pray you'd help us as we look at two images today, but also, Lord, help us as we think about our own faith image. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, I'm sure lots of you remember that clip. It's probably quite shocking. It's probably about 20 years old, that film, that clip from Forrest Gump. But pictures and images give meaning to life, don't they? And this one is quite a famous one. But what's interesting to me is that it's not a faith image. It's a fate image, a fatalistic view of life. That what happens in life is random. It's a roll of the dice. It's good luck, it's bad luck. Whatever happens, happens. Well, in this series of faith pictures, we've seen that the Bible uses pictures to communicate faith very powerfully. And we're now moving towards the end of the series, and we're encouraged to think a bit more about our own faith pictures. I know lots of us are quite horrified or nervous about having our own faith image. But one thing I know is that however unclear or hazy our faith picture may be at the moment, it will be one that is filled with hope that is missing from that famous quote from Forrest Gump. And it will be based on faith rather than fate. Well, I'm not sure I've got a clear faith picture yet, but one image that I do use to help me is that my faith is like an umbrella. The umbrella is my faith in God, and it's probably the umbrella that looks like it's a George cross because it's white and it has a big red cross of Jesus on it. And the umbrella represents everything I know about God, his character, and what he's done for me in Jesus, his grace and mercy, his incredible love for this wretched sinner. And the umbrella image helps me when I face the storms of life, when there are questions that I don't have the answer to, when events take place in our own lives or the lives of loved ones or the world around us, and God just doesn't seem to be present. And the umbrella protects. It doesn't stop the storms, the rain. And sometimes, just as in real life, when you're holding an umbrella and the rain comes in from the side and you get wet, that still happens. But when challenges, when storms, when questions come along, my faith is like an umbrella. It's what helps me, what gives me hope, is what I know about God. And the Bible says faith is being sure of what we hope for, of certain of what we do not see. Of course, when I get to heaven, I won't need my umbrella, as I will see everything. I will see God's hand. And the storms and the rain won't be there because the Bible promises that in heaven there's no pain and no suffering. But for now, I hold on to it. Once again, in the two passages we had read today, we have two powerful images. So it's certainly be helpful to me, but also to you, I think, if you have your Bible open, if you've not got one, they're in front of the pew. And we're going to, first of all, look briefly at Jeremiah 24. And it's on page 808 of the Old Testament section of the Bible. Jeremiah 24, verses 1 to 10, on page 808 of the Old Testament. So in this passage, you may have picked up that the people of Israel, God's people, are likened to two baskets of figs. There are the good figs and the bad figs. Those are the first ripe figs, then those are so bad that they cannot be eaten. I don't know if you like figs or not. I do, although I probably prefer fig rolls even more. And every now and again I'll be shopping, I'll see a packet of fig rolls and think, oh, I've not had those for a while, I'll get them. Especially since my children tend to go, yuck, I don't like them, so I know I'm guaranteed the whole packet as well. But whether we enjoy figs or not, God says in this passage that his people are like two baskets of figs that have been set before the temple. They are ready to be offered as the first fruits to honour God. One basket of good figs and one basket of bad figs. And God says that the basket of good figs represent his people who are currently in exile. And if you look at verses 4 to 7, he reassures them that even though things seem to be going wrong for them and they're facing real challenges, his hand is behind everything that's taking place. Verse 5, he says, I sent them away from this place. Then verse 6, I will set my eyes upon them for good. I will bring them back. I will build them up. And then a great promise in verse 7, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return. What hope that image must have given to God's people in exile. They probably thought they were the basket of bad figs. All seemed to be going so wrong. And they may have thought that God had abandoned them. And God says, no, you're the good figs. You will be planted. Then the basket of bad figs, verse 8. The remnant who had remained in the land, who had not stayed faithful to God. They seemed to secure and had no doubt that they'd done the right thing in not following God, but following their own path to apparent safety. And no doubt they scorned the others who were in exile, in captivity. But God says to these people, verses 9 to 10, they will be a disgrace, a curse in all places, and they will be utterly destroyed. Well, the image is clear, and the picture of baskets of good figs and bad figs would have communicated God's message very clearly to his people and given hope to those in exile facing hardship, but was a warning to those in apparent safety. There's not the time to do so now, but I think we can probably see how it's still an image for God's people today. Well, please now turn to the reading from the New Testament, Matthew 16. It's on page 18 of the New Testament section. I don't know about you, but I love these interactions between Jesus and the disciples. They are so human and so real. And I must admit, I tend to sympathize a little bit with the disciples and their lack of understanding. Here they are. If you look at verses 1 to 4, they've had an encounter with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are trying to test Jesus, trying to undermine Jesus. And in verse 4, it says that Jesus left them and they departed. And then it would seem that they've crossed to another area. Still in Jesus' mind is the challenge, the danger of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's on his mind. So he says to his disciples, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And basically one of the disciples goes, oh, that reminds me, I forgot the bread. And Jesus is exasperated with them. The disciples are so focused on their physical needs. They seem to have forgotten that earlier on they didn't have the bread and the food, and Jesus has more than provided for them. And Jesus challenges them as they seem unaware of the spiritual dangers. So Jesus uses the image of the yeast to warn of the dangerous impact of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Just as the yeast ferments the dough and helps it to rise, so the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees has a dramatic and significant impact. In Luke 12, Jesus also uses the yeast image to talk about the Pharisees when he talks about the yeast of their hypocrisy. So, two powerful faith images, one from the Old Testament of the good figs and the bad figs, and one in the New Testament of the yeast. So how are you doing with your own faith image? I shared one earlier on that helps me, the umbrella image. It doesn't take too long to unpick that image and realize it's not really a very strong image. Do I put the umbrella down when times are good and my faith in God isn't there? Does the umbrella turn inside out? There's loads of questions you could ask about any faith image. So don't worry too much about the strength of your faith image. It's just actually thinking about an image that we can use in our own lives and share with other people. And if I was talking to someone about my faith image in the umbrella and they said, hold on, that image doesn't quite work, brilliant, I'm having a conversation with them about faith. It doesn't really matter. But I know some people have been concerned about coming up with a perfect faith image. I don't think it's out there. But if we've got one that helps us, that we understand, then it starts a conversation. There are others that I've heard people share, and those in home groups this week, or next week, I'm not sure when it is, you'll be hearing other people sharing their faith images. Some say it's a bit like abseiling. It could be a bit like gorge walking, I suppose. In terms of, with abseiling, we can be scared. God keeps us safe. He's like the rope we need to hold on to. Or sometimes people say that faith is like a roller coaster. And actually, it was Luke Briggs who, about 10 or 11 years ago, I invited Luke, when he was a young whippersnapper, to come to St. John's when I was head teacher. And I'd had lots of conversations with Luke. And I thought it'd be great for a young person to come along and talk to our year six about their faith. And Luke did that, and he was great. And one of the things I remember was that Luke said that his faith was like he was on a roller coaster. There were high points, there were low points, there were twists and turns, but he always felt safe with Jesus. So that's a faith image that some people use, and I've heard used to great effect with young people. But I wanted to finish with one that I heard in the last few months that really struck me, and possibly because it was a personal connection. It was at the funeral of Esther Nodder. Esther and Jonathan Nodder are the parents of my best man, Simon. And from when I became a Christian at 16, I've always regarded them as my spiritual parents. Jonathan was a vicar in Edgeley, and then they moved to Carnforth in the Lake District. I went on holiday with them, spent lots of meal times around there having conversations, and they had and still have a significant impact on my faith and my life. Jonathan and Esther came to Sarah and our wedding in the summer of 2000. And at that point, Jonathan and Esther were preparing for Jonathan's retirement. Faithful ministry over a number of years. They were looking forward to their retirement together and the things they might do. So it was the most shocking news, having seen Jonathan so fit and well at our wedding, to receive a phone call on our return from our honeymoon to say that Jonathan had died from a heart attack. Esther had been out shopping. Jonathan had been preparing the sermon for the next day and had just dropped dead. That was in August 2000. On New Year's Eve of last year, 2016, Esther passed away. And at her funeral, one of her sons read out a piece Esther had written a few months after Jonathan's death, something I know she never really got over, and she continued to grieve. And Esther said that when Jonathan died, she felt like a vase that had been smashed into thousands of pieces. Over time, she's been put together piece by piece. But the powerful thing that she said was that she realized that even whilst and still as a broken vase, God was still able to use her in her loss, in her grief, and her pain. God was able to use this broken vase. That image says so much about Esther and her hope and faith in the midst of grief and loss, and about God, who's able to use us in our brokenness, but also lovingly pieces back together. And it reminds me of that verse from 2 Corinthians, where it says, "But we have this treasure in clay jars, so it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." I love the fact that God knows that each one of us here this morning are broken people, but he never gives up on us. He sent Jesus to bring hope, to bring healing now and into all eternity, to speak his message of love to other broken people. We have an amazing God. We have a real hope. We have a faith to tell. Let's pray that God grants each one of us an images to help us, but also the opportunity and the faith in God to tell others. Amen.